All right, so you know how sometimes you hear about these crazy legal cases and think, wow, that'll never happen to me?
Yeah.
Well, buckle up, Buttercup, because today we're diving into a case that hits close to home for anyone who's ever dreamed of, like buying property or just signing a contract in general. We're talking about contract law, anticipatory repudiation, and the power of retraction.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. This is actually one of my favorite cases to teach because it really shows you how important every single word, every comma can be when you're dealing with legal agreement.
Yeah, you're not kidding. One wrong move and boom, you could be facing a whole legal nightmare.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's get into it. Our story takes us to Springfield, Illinois, where we meet Truman L. Flatt and Sons, our buyer for today's case. They had their sights set on a prime piece of land, perfect spot for their big plan, building an asphalt plant.
Always a popular choice.
Right. Well, the sellers, Sarah Lee Shupp and others, were on board, ready to make a deal. Price tag, $160,000.
Yeah.
Seemed pretty straightforward
That's where
until.
the rezoning issue popped up.
Oh, right. There was a catch. The purchase was contingent on Flatt and Sons successfully getting the land rezoned for industrial use.
You can imagine the reaction from the local community. An asphalt plant, not in my backyard.
Yeah, I'm already picturing the protests, the angry town hall meetings, the whole nine yards. So what happened? Did Flatt and Sons just give up and walk away?
Not quite. They did withdraw their rezoning request. I mean, facing that kind of opposition, it was probably a smart move.
Yeah, probably saved themselves a lot of headaches.
Right, but they were still interested in the land, just not at the original price. So they came back with a lower offer, $142,500. Their reasoning. Without the rezoning, the land was simply worth less. And that's where things get really juicy.
Okay, wait a minute. So they just decided to change the price, like it was no big deal.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It seems a little risky to me.
Did that price reduction request accidentally nuke the entire deal?
Did they legally void the contract by doing that?
To answer that, we need to talk about this legal term you mentioned earlier, anticipatory repudiation.
Uh-oh, legal jargon alert.
Don't worry, I'll break it down for you. Basically, anticipatory repudiation is when one party in a contract very clearly and definitively says, I'm not going to do what I promised. They're essentially throwing in the towel before even starting the game.
So it's not just about having second thoughts or cold feet. It's about saying, nope, I'm out, in the way that leaves no room for doubt.
Exactly. Now, in this case, the court had to decide if the buyer's request for a price reduction met that very high bar.
Damn.
Drumroll, please. The court said no. Simply asking for a different price doesn't automatically mean you're ditching the entire deal.
Really? So just like that, they were off the hook.
Well, not so fast. There's another twist to this story, a legal concept called retraction that we'll get into later.
Oh, a plot twist. I love it.
But before we go there, let's really hammer home why the court's decision on this repudiation issue is so important.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Imagine if every time someone tried to renegotiate or tweak a detail in a contract, it was seen as a breach. That would create absolute chaos.
You're telling me.
Businesses would be constantly suing each other. Contracts would become super rigid, and it would be almost impossible to adapt to changing circumstances.
No room for flexibility or compromise. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Exactly.
So, in a way, this ruling protects the very spirit of negotiation. It acknowledges that sometimes you need to adjust the terms of a deal to make it work for everyone.
Precisely. Now, are you ready for that plot twist? Let's talk about retraction.
Hit me with it. I'm ready to hear how Flatt and Sons managed to wiggle out of this situation.
All right, so picture this. Even if the court considered the buyer's actions as anticipatory repudiation, there was still a chance to save the deal. Enter retraction, the legal safety net. It's like saying, wait a second, I didn't really mean to walk away. I still want to play ball. But there's a catch.
There's always a catch, right?
You have to retract your repudiation before the other party takes any action based on your initial I'm out statement.
Okay, so timing is key here. It's like you've got a limited window to undo the damage before the other side moves on.
Exactly. You can only retract your repudiation if the other party hasn't already sued you, you officially declared the contract dead, or, made any major moves, assuming you're out of the picture.
So once the ship has sailed, you can't just magically teleport it back to the dock.
Right. And in this case, our buyers, Flatt and Sons, they managed to pull off this legal magic trick. The sellers hadn't sold the land to someone else. They hadn't sent any official notice saying, hey, we're done with this deal. Basically, they hadn't done anything irreversible.
Wow, that was a close one. Sounds like Flatt & Sons really dodged a bullet. They were able to backpedal and say, okay, fine, we'll stick to the original price.
They got lucky.
But hold on a sec. I'm trying to wrap my head around all this. Why should our listeners care about these legal terms? I mean, most of us aren't buying huge plots of land for asphalt plants.
That's a fair point. Yeah. But here's the thing. These concepts apply to any contract, big or small.
Really? So we're not just talking about real estate moguls and construction companies.
Nope.
Whether you're signing a lease, hiring a contractor, or even making a casual agreement with a friend, understanding the ins and outs of contract law can save you a lot of trouble.
So it's like having a secret weapon in your back pocket, just in case you ever find yourself in a sticky contract situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this case is a perfect example of how these principles play out in the real world with real consequences.
Okay, so we've set the stage, introduced the players, and explored the key legal concepts. Now let's dive deeper into the court's reasoning. I'm curious to hear how they justified their decision and what it reveals about the importance of language and intent in contract law. What were those subtle details that the court was looking for?
Good question. Now you're getting to the heart of it. The court really scrutinized the wording used by the buyer in that price reduction request. They were looking for what they called a definite and unequivocal manifestation of the intent to walk away from the deal.
Okay, so it wasn't just about what they said, it was about how they said it. Were they looking for a smoking gun phrase like, we're not buying this land, no way, no how? Exactly. The court went through that language with a fine-tooth comb, and they just didn't find that level of finality in the buyer's communication. It was more along the lines of, hey, this rezoning thing didn't work out. Can we adjust the price?
Yeah, that does sound a lot more casual, almost like they were just testing the waters.
And the court didn't want to set a precedent where every attempt to renegotiate or, you know, tweak a contract could be interpreted as a breach. Think about it. That would throw the business world into complete chaos.
No one would want to sign anything.
It would make contracts incredibly rigid. No room for flexibility or adapting to unforeseen circumstances.
So this ruling basically allows for some breathing room in the contracting process. It recognizes that negotiations are a normal part of business and that not every request for a change means you're trying to blow up the deal.
Precisely. But let's not forget about that other legal concept we talked about, retraction. Remember, that's our plot twist. And it plays a crucial role in this story.
Oh, yeah, retraction. That's our legal safety net, right?
Right.
The get out of jail free card in case you accidentally say the wrong thing.
Well, it's not quite that simple, but you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Essentially, retraction lets you take back your repudiation to say, wait a minute, I didn't mean to walk away from this deal. I still want to make it happen. But as with most things legal, there is a catch.
Here we go again. There's always a catch. Lay it on me. What's the catch this time?
Timing is everything. You have to retract your repudiation before the other party makes any significant moves based on your initial I'm out of here statement.
Okay, so it's a race against time. You need to act fast before the other party starts making other plans.
Exactly. Let's say the sellers had already found another buyer who was willing to pay the full price, or they'd sent an official notice saying, consider this contract dead. In those scenarios, the window for retraction would be slammed shut.
So once the dominoes start falling, you can't just put them back up again.
Right. And the court made it very clear, once the other party has materially changed their position, or, you know, they've made it clear that they consider the repudiation final, you've missed your chance to retract.
So you've got to be quick on your feet and know your legal rights.
Exactly.
But in this case, our buyers, they were lucky. The sellers hadn't taken any drastic steps, so they were able to retract their price reduction request and salvage the deal. Whew.
Close call. It could have gone very differently.
But this brings us to a really important takeaway for all our listeners. Understanding your rights and options within a contract can be a game changer. Things can get messy quickly, but knowing the rules can help you navigate tricky situations and potentially avoid a costly legal battle.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to legal matters.
Yeah.
So let's say you find yourself in a similar predicament. You said something that could be seen as repudiation, but now you want to backtrack and save the deal. What should our listeners do?
Yeah, what's the playbook here?
First of all, don't panic. There might still be time to fix things. The key is to act quickly and decisively. Immediately retract your statement, preferably in writing, and make it crystal clear that you intend to fulfill your obligations under the original contract.
So clear and unambiguous communication is key. What else?
Documentation is your best friend. Keep detailed records of every interaction, including dates, times, and the content of conversations. This can be invaluable evidence if a dispute arises later on.
Right, because in legal matters, it often comes down to he said, she said, and having solid documentation can make all the difference. Anything else our listeners should keep in mind?
If there's any doubt about your rights or the best course of action, consult with an attorney. They can assess the situation, explain the potential consequences, and guide you through the retraction process if necessary.
Solid advice. It's always better to err on the side of caution and seek professional guidance when dealing with contracts and legal obligations.
Absolutely. Prevention is better than cure, especially when it comes to legal matters.
Okay, so we've covered the nuances of anticipatory repudiation, the power of attraction, and the importance of clear communication in contracts. But is there a broader lesson here that extends beyond the specifics of this case? What does this ruling tell us about the nature of contracts and how they function in the real world?
This case is a powerful illustration of how even seemingly minor details in contract language can have major consequences. It highlights the importance of clarity, precision, and a thorough understanding of the terms before you sign on the dotted line.
So it's not just about striking a deal, it's about making sure the deal is rock solid from a legal standpoint.
Exactly. It emphasizes the need for careful drafting, thorough review, and open communication to ensure that both parties are on the same page and that the contract accurately reflects their intentions.
It's a reminder that contracts are legally binding agreements, not just casual promises.
Precisely. This case serves as a cautionary tale, urging us to treat contracts with the seriousness they deserve. A seemingly harmless oversight or ambiguity can snowball into a full-blown legal dispute, costing you time, money, and peace of mind.
So, dear listener, pay close attention to those contract details. Read carefully asked questions, and don't hesitate to seek clarification if anything seems unclear or ambiguous.
Couldn't agree more. It's far easier to address potential issues up front than to untangle a legal mess after the fact.
Okay, we've explored the complexities of anticipatory repudiation, the importance of retraction, and the significance of clear communication in contracts. Now, let's shift our perspective for a moment and imagine ourselves in the shoes of the sellers. How might they have perceived this situation? What emotions and strategic considerations might have been at play?
That's a fascinating question. Stepping into the shoes of the other party can offer valuable insights into the human dynamics at play in a contract negotiation.
Exactly. So let's put on our seller hats and see things from their side of the fence. I imagine it wasn't all sunshine and roses when they received that price reduction request.
I think it's safe to assume there was some frustration, maybe even a sense of betrayal. After all, they had a deal and suddenly the buyer was trying to change the terms because of their own zoning setback.
It's like that moment when you think you've finally found the perfect house, you're ready to move in, and then the inspector finds a major problem. Suddenly you're rethinking the whole deal.
Exactly. In this case, the sellers might have felt like the rug was pulled out from under them. They might have been wondering, did we make a mistake agreeing to this deal? Should we cut our losses and try to find a buyer who's willing to pay the full price?
It's that classic dilemma, isn't it? Weighing the potential benefits of sticking with the original contract against the risks of starting over.
And remember, this isn't just a theoretical exercise for our listeners. Many of them might be small business owners, entrepreneurs, or individuals who regularly enter into contracts. Understanding how to navigate these situations from both sides of the equation is essential.
Absolutely. So let's break down the seller's perspective a bit further. What are some of the strategic considerations they might have been grappling with?
First and foremost, they had to assess the legal strength of their position. Did they believe that the buyer's actions constituted a clear breach of contract? Were they confident that they could successfully argue this in court? These are crucial questions that any seller facing a similar situation needs to consider.
It's about knowing your rights and being prepared to defend them. But it's not just about the legal aspects, is it? There are emotional and financial factors to consider as well.
Right. The sellers might have felt a sense of frustration or even anger towards the buyer. They might have been worried about the financial implications of a delayed or canceled sale. All of these emotions can cloud judgment and make it difficult to make rational decisions.
So it's a high-pressure situation, both legally and emotionally. And in this case, the sellers decided to hold their ground. They rejected the buyer's lower offer and asserted that the contract was void. But as we know, the court ultimately sided with the buyer.
And this highlights an important lesson. Legal outcomes don't always align with personal perceptions of fairness. What one party might see as a clear breach of contract, a court might interpret differently.
It underscores the need for clear, unambiguous language in contracts and the importance of seeking legal advice when disputes arise. You don't want to make assumptions or act on emotion, especially when there's so much at stake.
Exactly. This case is a powerful reminder that contracts are complex, and even seemingly straightforward situations can become tangled webs of legal interpretation.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into contract law, repudiation, and retraction, what are the key takeaways for our listeners? What practical advice can they glean from this case to navigate their own contract negotiations and avoid potential pitfalls?
First and foremost, clarity is paramount. When drafting or reviewing a contract, make sure the language is precise and accurately reflects the agreement. Don't leave any room for misinterpretation.
Think of it as future-proofing your contract. The clearer the language, the less likely you are to encounter disputes down the road.
Absolutely. And if you find yourself in a situation where a contract has been potentially breached, don't panic. Understand your options, including the possibility of retraction, and seek legal counsel to explore the best course of action.
Remember, early intervention is often key. The sooner you address a potential breach, the more options you'll have.
And finally, remember that contracts are not just legal documents, they are frameworks for relationships. While it's crucial to protect your legal rights, fostering open communication and a spirit of collaboration can often lead to more mutually beneficial outcomes.
Wise words. Thanks for joining us on this journey through the fascinating world of contract law. We hope you've gained valuable insights that will empower you to navigate your own contractual agreements with confidence.
So they dug into that letter from the buyer, really trying to figure out if they meant to walk away from the deal completely.
They were playing detective with the contract, huh?
Yeah, basically. They were looking for that definite and unequivocal manifestation of intent to say, "See ya later," to the whole agreement.
So was there like a specific phrase or something they were looking for, like "we're out of here" or "no deal"?
Exactly. Something super clear cut. But they just didn't find that kind of language in the buyer's letter. It was more like, "Hey, since the rezoning's a bust, can we talk about the price?"
Which sounds pretty reasonable when you think about it. The whole situation changed, so it makes sense they'd want to renegotiate.
And the court agreed. They didn't want to create this legal situation where every time someone tries to tweak a contract, it's like the end of the world.
Yeah, it would be chaos. Like walking on eggshells every time you wanted to change a tiny detail.
Right. Contracts would be totally rigid, no room for flexibility or common sense.
So this ruling gives us a little breathing room, huh? Recognizes that sometimes things change and you need to adjust the terms of a deal. Makes sense to me.
Exactly. But let's not forget about our friend retraction.
Right, right. Our legal safety net in case things go south.
The court had some specific things to say about when retraction is valid, and that's super important.
Oh, fill me in.
They emphasize that you can only retract that repudiation if the other party hasn't already taken some big step because of it.
So like if the sellers had already found another buyer or sent a "we're done" letter, it'd be too late.
You got it. That window of opportunity would be slammed shut.
So it's a race against time?
The court was very clear. Yeah. Once that other party has changed their position because of your "I'm out," or they've made it clear they think it's over, you can't just take it back.
Whew. High stakes stuff.
No kidding.
But in this case, our buyers, they got lucky. The sellers hadn't done anything irreversible yet, so they were able to retract that price change and keep the deal alive.
They really did thread the needle on that one.
It really drives home the point that knowing your rights in a contract can be so crucial.
Absolutely. Things can go sideways quickly, but knowing the rules can help you avoid those legal landmines.
So let's say you find yourself in a similar pickle. You maybe said something that sounded like repudiation, but now you want to backtrack and save the deal. What's the move? What should our listeners do?
First things first, don't freak out. There might still be time to fix it. The key is to act fast and be clear. Retract that statement right away, ideally in writing, and make it absolutely clear you still want to honor the original contract.
Got it. Clear, concise, and in writing. Anything else?
Keep good records. Dates, times, what was said in conversations, write it all down. That stuff can be golden if a dispute goes to court.
Right, because then it's not just your word against theirs. You've got the receipts. Solid advice. Anything else?
Honestly, if there's any doubt, get a lawyer involved. They can look at the situation, explain what could happen, and help you through that retraction process if you need it.
Always a good idea to have an expert in your corner. Better safe than sorry, right?
100%.
Okay, so we've talked about anticipatory repudiation and how you can sometimes retract it and how important it is to be clear in your contracts.
Mm-hmm.
But is there something bigger we can take away from all of this? Like, what does this case tell us about how contracts work in the real world?
It shows you just how important the little details are. Every word matters. That's why you need to be precise, understand everything in the contract, and be on the same page before you sign.
So it's not just about getting a deal. It's about making sure that deal is legally sound.
Exactly. Draft it carefully, review it thoroughly, and communicate clearly. That's how you make sure everyone's on board and the contract reflects what you actually agreed to.
Because at the end of the day, a contract isn't just a suggestion. It's a legally binding agreement.
Right. This case is like a warning sign telling us to take contracts seriously. Even a tiny mistake can turn into a massive legal headache.
So pay attention to those details, folks. Read carefully, ask questions, and don't be afraid to get clarification if something's fuzzy.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Fixing problems before they happen is way easier than cleaning up a legal mess later.
Okay, so we've gone deep on anticipatory repudiation and retraction and all the ins and outs of clear communication and contracts. Now let's flip the script for a minute and imagine ourselves in the seller's shoes. How do you think they felt about this whole situation?
It's always helpful to see things from the other side's perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Gives you a better understanding of the whole situation.
Totally.
Yeah.
So let's put on our seller hats for a moment. I bet they weren't too thrilled about that price reduction request.
Yeah, I'd imagine there was some frustration, maybe even a little betrayal. They thought they had a deal, and then bam, the buyer's trying to change the game because of their own zoning issues.
That's got a sting.
It's kind of like you think you found the perfect house, you're all set to move in, and then boom, the inspection report comes back with a bunch of problems.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. Suddenly, you're not so sure about that dream home anymore.
Exactly. And in this case, the sellers might have felt like, wait a minute, did we mess up by agreeing to this deal in the first place?
Yeah, I can see that. Like, should we cut our losses and find someone else who'll pay the full price? Tough call.
It's a classic dilemma. Do you stick with the original plan or do you start from scratch? And a lot of our listeners might face similar choices, whether they're running a business or just dealing with everyday contracts.
Absolutely. So let's dig into the seller's side a bit more. What were they thinking about? What factors were they weighing?
Well, first they had to figure out if they had a strong legal case. Did they really think the buyer broke the contract? Could they win if they took it to court? Those are big questions any seller would have to consider.
So it's all about knowing your rights and being ready to fight for them if you need to. But it's not just about the legal stuff, is it? There's got to be a lot of emotion involved too.
Oh, yeah. The sellers might have been frustrated, even angry at the buyer, and worried about what a delayed sale would mean for them financially. That kind of stress can really mess with your decision making.
Yeah, no kidding. So it's a pressure cooker situation. Legal, emotional, financial, it's all tangled up. And in this case, the sellers, they decided to stand their ground. They said no to that lower offer and basically claimed the contract was dead. But of course, we know how the story ends. The court sided with the buyer.
And that's a big takeaway right there. What feels fair to one person might not be how the law sees it. You can't always assume things will go your way just because you feel like you're in the right.
It's like that saying, you can't always get what you want. Sometimes the law has other plans.
Exactly. Yeah. So this case is a reminder. Be clear in your contracts, and if there's a dispute, talk to a lawyer. Don't just go with your gut, especially when there's a lot on the line.
Words to live by. So as we wrap up this deep dive into contracts and all their twists and turns, what are the big takeaways for our listeners? What can they learn from all of this to avoid legal trouble?
The biggest thing is clarity. When you're writing or reviewing a contract, be as specific as possible. Make sure it says exactly what you mean. Don't leave any room for confusion.
Think of it as preventing problems before they even start.
And if you do find yourself in a situation where a contract might have been broken, don't panic. Know what your options are, like that retraction thing we talked about, and get a lawyer's advice on the best way to handle things.
Remember, it's always better to address things early on. The more you wait, the fewer choices you'll have.
And one last thought. Contracts, they're not just about rules and regulations. They're about relationships, too. So while it's important to protect yourself legally, being open and willing to work things out can often lead to better results for everyone.
Well said. Thanks for taking us on this journey through the wild world of contracts. We hope our listeners have learned some valuable lessons today that will help them navigate their own agreements with confidence.